The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the greatest show about the paranormal and conspiracies ever known to man. I'm getting crazy, throwing my hands around, animated, burning
nice.
Calories.
Way to sell it.
Yep, I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara. How's it going, Kara?
Good.
Anything new and exciting this week?
Well, I've finished up the first draft of this horror novel that I've been working on, so I'm very happy about that.
All right, so you're going to move on and get all famous and leave me behind?
I mean, that's the plan. Who knows if it'll work that way, but...
You're going to regret it, man. This is an old man's world. You know? You're going to try to move on, and you're going to totally fail, and you're going to be, oh, I should have stayed with that old man, Chauncey.
Don't worry. I'll be on Radio Wasteland forever. You are not replacing me.
No, I have no intention.
Yeah.
You already ruined my plot to replace you, so...
I know.
I know. Way to mess it up. All right, so I had a hateful week.
Oh, good.
You know, I constantly complain about this stuff, but so I'm in this Facebook group, Mr. Spock's Dank Meme Stash.
Oh yeah,
you know, and
of course you are. First of all,
and so I post something up there, you know, kind of making fun of both sides of politics about how none of us are able to change our own oil or make ossobuco from scratch without a recipe. Yet we all have
bad move.
We all have it all figured out when it comes to racial equality and nuclear why do I keep having a hard time with that word? This is like the nuclear weapons and the economy.
The word is proliferation.
Proliferation. Yes. I know that. I'm just, you know, it's like simimum.
I mean, I don't know that you knew that. I think I had to say it.
All right. Well, it must be hard to be so smart.
See, this is why I love being on the show. I just get to rip you apart on air. That's literally the only reason I do it. I don't care about the paranormal.
Man,
I'm just here to hurt you.
I got to tell you, if that's what you consider ripping apart on air, I am being really nice to you.
I would be devastated, okay?
Yeah. You got to hear me talk when I'm over hanging out at Jared.
Pronouncing a word wrong and being called out on it, that would kill me inside.
Well, I'll cry in the bathroom later.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm in there, and this guy like starts harassing me because he's a vegan or something about ossobuco.
Sure.
And, you know, so of course, in the interest of being nice, I post a carrot ossobuco recipe. But this guy like goes on, like he takes like photos from my profile and like starts making like jokes about me like trying out for gay adult films and stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
And he's like totally just like tearing into me, like going through my profile and using my own
pictures.
Okay,
so he was actually ripping you apart.
He was trying, you know. And I finally, you know, as a mature adult male, I'm just all, oh god, I didn't know it was bad to be gay, I'm so ashamed, you know. And like and like he just keeps tearing into me, and finally I just say, man, I gotta go back to looking at dank memes, so I'm going to let you go, but it's been fun getting gay bashed by you, you know, and that's the end of it. But basically, this whole thing out of this guy was how he was like all about animal rights while gay bashing me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was a little weird, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was like trying to prey on my manliness, like, hey, this guy's not gay, so I'm going to like prey on this, and this is obviously going to offend him or something.
Who knows?
But this is going on all across the place, and I feel just sort of really stupid that, like, okay, here's my other story. I'm at the casino. My wife and I go to the casino every Friday night. That's what we call date night, but it's really going to do what Terry wants.
Sure.
And
date night.
Right, date night. That's a healthy attitude. I like that. She'll like that, too. And I'm talking to this guy. I've met him before, older guy. And, you know, he's a business owner. He's got some employees, and I would like to get some employees, but, you know, it's hard because you want to provide stability for them, and you need to be sure that you're going to be able to do this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just, oh, yeah, my employees, they show up if they want it, and blah, blah, blah. And we're talking about, you know, getting employees.
You say it just like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Until he says, yeah, my best employee, he's been, like, my best employee for, like, 6 years. And then he up and... I'm going to say verbatim what this guy said.
Okay.
It's not a bad word, but it's frowned upon.
Sure.
Jared's getting ready with the button. he's just all, yeah, this guy's been my best employee for the past 6 years, but then he up and turned queer on me.
Yeah, queer isn't a bad word.
And I look at
him. But clearly the way this guy was saying it was like.
And I'm all, does he still show up to work on time all the time? And he's all, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm just all, what is the problem? I don't understand how this fit into our conversation, you know. So I'm feeling a little shocked that I think I have this sort of like California colored glasses on. I think the world is a lot more racist and sexist and homophobic than I thought it was.
So... speaking as a trans woman.
Yeah, all right, let's hear it.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can only vouch for two of them.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so I've just really sort of been taken aback. It's like, I try to follow groups because I want some lightheartedness during my day, so I follow, like, this Gary Larson group so I can see Far Side memes. They're ragingly racist and full on just raging political battles, you know, just going on over Far Side and Star Trek, you know. It's like,
well,
what?
Yeah, Mr. Spock's dank meme stash is supposed to be all about logic. It's Mr. Spock.
Totally, or at least memes. I'm thinking about leaving because it started to become just posts about stuff that without a meme. If you got a meme attached. You're fine.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation with someone about racism recently, and you know what I think the problem is? The root of a lot of these disagreements is, like, whether you trust anecdotal evidence versus whether you trust data. Personally, I'm a data person. If someone tells me a story about their life...
Is this a Star Trek reference?
Well, okay, first of all, yes, I love data.
Yeah, but... there's no room for you and Mr. Spock's dang meme stash if you're a data person.
But, okay, if someone's trying to tell me, you know, this is how I think the economy works, because everyone I know is like this, I'm like, well, maybe everyone you know is only one way, because those are the only people you can connect with, because your lives are like them. You know, I want to see the figures.
Totally.
A lot of people don't want to see the figures at all.
Right.
People are hardwired to do stories and anecdotes and that kind of thing. So when someone's telling you... yeah, I've never experienced racism, neither have any of my friends. I'm like, so I'm feeling like there's a common factor between you and your friends.
Yeah.
It has something to do with the fact that you're all very white.
And men.
We were talking about racism in this particular conversation, but it's...
Well, this happens all the time. Like, people, like, my wife will be out shopping, and, like, people will say, like really sort of mean, aggressive things to her, like the cashier and stuff like that. None of these people would ever say these things to my face, the things that my wife comes back and says, can you believe this person said this to me? None of these people would ever say this to me. I've never heard anything like it. Because I look like a biker dude or something.
Exactly.
You know, so they're obviously preying on her because she's a woman or diminutive in some sort of way that they can get away with it. You know?
Yeah. Yet when you explain this kind of thing to people, when you show them studies and that kind of thing, well, studies mean nothing. And other people's experiences... also don't tend to mean very much as long as they have their own experience they can counter with.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
I think that's just kind of the way people are wired.
Well, all you people out there, just, you know, less talk, more rock. Get out there and vote and shut up. All right, so our guest is coming up, Paul Blake Smith, talking about JFK and the Willard Hotel plot here on Radio Wasteland.
One, two, tres, cuatro. Had a doll, had a
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Three Dog Night is coming to Redding's historic Cascade Theater October 28th. Don't miss this chance to see Three Dog Night and hear all their iconic hits in the intimate setting of the Cascade. Three Dog Night, October 28th. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Radola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Radola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
Yeah. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Paul Blake Smith. We're talking about his new book, The JFK and the Willard Hotel Plot. Paul, are you there with us?
I'm here and doing well. I hope you're the same.
I am. And so, I got to say, I have no idea what the Willard Hotel plot is.
Way to lay it out there.
I just got to throw it out there. You know, I was talking with my wife about it. I tried to research it a little bit without, you know, sort of scraping your content, trying to find, and really, I didn't know what it was. So, first, let's cover this is Paul's third appearance on Radio Wasteland.
Indeed.
Paul is shaping up to be quite the prolific author. Yet another person to make Kara and I jealous of our failed writing careers.
True.
Yeah.
So well done.
Thanks. All right. So, Paul, can you just sum up what the importance is of the Willard Hotel with this JFK and the Willard Hotel plot?
Right. A little backstory that in 2005, two very fine researcher authors, one a radio host, Tom Hartman, and his partner, Lamar Waldron, produced a book called Ultimate Sacrifice. They did terrific research into the Kennedy assassination and discovered a recurring theme that Carlos Marcello, the mobster, was the one who initiated the plot, vowing revenge on the Kennedy brothers and their war on organized crime. And he enlisted during the summer Lee Harvey Oswald, and even spoke of this when his prison cell was bugged in the late 80s, early 90s, Carlos Marchillo went to prison in Texarkana and mentioned how he personally met with Oswald that summer and checked him out for the job as the patsy, the dummy to be left behind. Said that he did initiate the JFK killing, proudly boasted of it, and that the ultimate sacrifice authors found that the plan was to shoot President Kennedy in a motorcade in an American city from a tall office building or a hotel. And in Tampa, 4 days before the JFK shooting in Dealey Plaza, President Kennedy went through town in a public motorcade in his open limousine, just like he did in Dallas, and they went right past the Grand Floridian Hotel, where they made a slow turn and right in front of the hotel, and police were very worried about this. They got a tip that there was going to be a shooting, and they beefed up security, and the Secret Service beefed things up, and so President Kennedy survived that November 18th, and some of that actually made the newspapers back then. So I believe in their theory. They provide plenty of substance to this plot, and they even got a History Channel special out of it. But I go back to October 1st, when Lee Harvey Oswald was apparently in the vicinity of the Willard Hotel, two blocks from the White House, and guess what was going by on October 1st? JFK in an open car motorcade. Oswald was seen 4 days before and spoken to, according to a Treasury document that had been buried for decades, and it's come out now, that Oswald was seen coming out of the hotel, and he got into it with a government employee outside the building. He couldn't control his temper, and they definitely pinpointed this was Lee Harvey Oswald. It was something the public really didn't need to hear. They wanted a case of Oswald woke up one morning and decided to shoot President Kennedy in Dallas, and that's all there was to the case. So I put together this clue and about nine others and plenty of other data for my new book to show that Oswald was going to initially shoot President Kennedy in Washington, D.C. That was the mafia plan that summer. That is my theory. It's tough at this date to prove, but there are some documents that help to back it up.
So maybe you could remind me and the listeners, after Oswald did the shooting, he tried to get away. How did we catch him?
He first panicked, and when a cop pulled him over, he shot him, an officer named J.D. Tippit, and ran across town, Oak Cliff, Texas, where he was seated in a movie theater, and someone thought he was suspicious. They called the cops. Police arrived, and they asked him merely to stand up. Well, he went berserk and tried to shoot them, further indicating his guilt. You don't go trying to shoot police officers if you're an innocent person who was an innocent bystander at the time of the parade. So Oswald was taken to police headquarters, and he was held in custody. And it's interesting to know that in his pocket was an address for a street in Washington, D.C., the Soviet embassy, and a diplomat named. And it turns out that another clue is that J. Edgar Hoover had the FBI run down what do we know about this Oswald on the day of the assassination? And one of those clues in this FBI memo is that Oswald was in Washington and visited the Soviet embassy. So that was something that had to be kind of hushed up for years, but now we know that it sure looks like Lee was in D.C., and this is one of the things he was doing there, probably trying to get a visa to go to Cuba.
I see. Yeah, the reason why I asked how he got away and that he tried to run was I feel that sort of illustrates that somewhere at the other end of that running was maybe some money, and that he wasn't just some crazy guy that was just looking to shoot him.
That's right. You know, he left $200, almost $200, in a cup for his wife to find that morning when she woke up. Just a few days before the shooting, Oswald went shoe shopping with his wife, and he had no money to buy his daughter shoes. Suddenly, he had $200, about $187 in a cup and $13 in his pocket, which would be the equivalent of a few thousand dollars. Now, where did impoverished menial labor on minimum wage get this money? It's pretty obvious, again, that the mafia paid him to do this, probably gave him some money up front and said, you know, when you finish the job, we'll give you the rest of it.
And so the thought is that he was going to run to Cuba, and that's where he would get paid or get money, And because I've heard this Cuban connection as well.
Yeah. Oswald was seen in the company of two Cuban men on September 25th in various parts of Texas, working his way from Houston to Austin, where he was seen in a restaurant. He made a scene at the state capitol, and he went up to Dallas, and he made a scene, well, he was mostly well-behaved, at a woman's apartment named Sylvia Odio. And that point, we lose track of Oswald on September 25th that night, and he shows up the 27th at the Willard Hotel. JFK was out of town, and you know where he was at that point. Just take a wild guess.
Some corner room that was really easy to shoot down to the street.
have you ever heard of Redding, California?
Oh, really?
Yes. He was on a conservation tour, and on the 27th, he was in a place called Redding, California, ready to give a speech and give a little tour of nature that was out there.
That's crazy. That's really all that's out here.
That's true.
That makes a lot of sense.
Back then.
So, well, I don't want to ask you that question until we come back from break, because that's a big question.
Hold our listeners in suspense.
Well, you know, it's a big question with a lot of answers.
Possibly the most important question ever asked.
I didn't mean it like that. Come on, break.
Wow, I can't wait now.
Well, basically, I guess we'll get started on it, and if I got to cut you off, then I'll cut you off. If this evidence is out there and credible, and there's all this stuff. He was obviously trying to get somewhere. He obviously got the money. The Willard Hotel is factoring in. What is the purpose of the government not backing some of this up and not publicly saying, well, yeah, it's like, why would they be still be running with the same old story?
They didn't piece together the clues. Either they were incompetent or they just kind of wanted to brush everything up into a neat, tidy story that Oswald woke up on the morning of the 22nd and without a motive, according to the Warren Commission, decided to shoot President Kennedy just for the heck of it, I guess.
As one does.
Yeah, so I believe that is to be false. And certainly in the 1970s, the House Select Committee came to a different conclusion. They had more money and more investigators and came to the conclusion that Oswald had help, that it was part of a probable conspiracy to kill the president. And since then, no one seems to be investigating the case except private citizens and researchers and authors.
Yeah, it's really kind of amazing for me to think, you know, because we don't really live in the world today, I feel, where organized crime has that level of moxie or power. But
right.
They did at the time. This was kind of the heyday of organized crime.
That's true. I just spoke to someone the other day. He said his father worked in, I think, law enforcement in Washington, D.C., and he said even back then, the mob was controlling nightclubs and bars in Washington and the state capital, or the city and the nation's capital, right under the noses of, national lawmakers and the FBI and such. They had a real stranglehold on showbiz, that part of nightclubs and strippers and the Jack Ruby kind of world. And so some of these pieces are starting to fit in. It's tough for people to understand now, but the mafia was used to doing business in this country and buying off politicians of both parties.
Right. All right. Well, I'm excited. We got some more questions for you. You are our first JFK guest. We have never discussed JFK here on Radio Wasteland before, so we're pretty excited. All right. You're listening to Paul Blake Smith here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back for some more questions about JFK and the Willard Plot Hotel, his new book.
Your life, you like it well. taxpayer advocates across California oppose Prop 10. John Kupal is president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association.
Prop 10 could create more than 500 rental boards full of unelected bureaucrats and allow them to impose government fees on all housing. Plus, control how much homeowners can charge to rent out their own home or even a single room.
Robert Gutierrez from California Taxpayers Association.
Prop 10 could cost state and local governments hundreds of millions of dollars. If this flawed plan gets challenged in court, Prop 10 puts taxpayers on the hook to defend it. Protect your wallet. Vote no on Prop 10.
Check the facts at Prop10Flaws.com. Paid for by No on Prop 10, a flawed initiative that will make the housing crisis worse. A coalition of housing advocates, renters, large and small businesses, taxpayer groups, and veterans. Committee major funding from Blackstone Property Partners LP, BREIT MF Holdings LLC, Blackstone Real Estate Partners 6 through 8 LP, and their holdings.
Yeah, Hillstop, I have the right of way. Or really, Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of Eastside Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Holiday Harbor on Lake Shasta has it all for your summer fun. Looking to make great family memories this summer? Holiday Harbor has been named as one of the top 10 houseboat marinas in the nation, according to customers who come back year after year. Holiday Harbor has the best deals on the best boats. Houseboats, patio boats, fishing boats, ski boats, and then there's the toy box. Wakeboards, paddle boards, jet skis, and pool toys. We feature a great restaurant for breakfast and lunch. We are open 7 days a week from 8 to 4, Memorial Day to Labor Day. Have a great vacation without a long drive or airport hassles. Holiday Harbor is conveniently located just a mile off the freeway, exit 695. Go to lakeshasta.com or call 530-238-2383 to reserve your summer fun today.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Alza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking with Paul Blake Smith about his new book, JFK and the Willard Plot, the Willard Hotel Plot. Carrie, you had a follow-up question about that?
Yeah, so I was just wondering what these mafia types were hoping to accomplish in the first place. Was it Cold War related? Or I mean, there's a lot of different motives you can think of, but I'm wondering if we have any idea.
The mafia was involved in a war, all right. They called it the War on Organized Crime, which JFK's brother, Robert Kennedy, as Attorney General, conducted through his Justice Department and FBI contacts. They were really going hard after the mafia. And just a few months after JFK was inaugurated, they scooped up Carlos Marcello the Gangster and basically just kidnapped him, flew him out of the country, and dumped him off in the jungles of Guatemala. Marcello fell down a ravine and broke his leg and was all torn up, and he swore complete revenge that he would kill the Kennedys for this. And at first, the target was Robert Kennedy. But he knew that if you just killed Robert Kennedy, JFK would replace him with someone even tougher and meaner and really go after the mob. But if you really wanted to hurt the Kennedy family and stop the war on organized crime, you would kill the president. Hmm. It's interesting to know that Carlos Marcello checked into the Willard Hotel in January of 1961 and watched JFK's open car parade go by, probably the day before, where he could have gotten the whole idea for shooting Kennedy right from the very start. So here's another villain that Oswald was in that hotel. Kennedy himself went in June of 63 to make a speech. He was obsessed with President Lincoln, and Lincoln stayed at the hotel to avoid an assassination plot against him just before his first inauguration in February of 1861. So there's tremendous history, and even one more if you want me to continue.
Please.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, John Wilkes Booth was spotted in Willard Hotel lobby by Julia Grant, who was destined to be going to Ford's Theater that night with her husband, U.S. Grant, who came by to pick her up. She said Booth was stalking her and glowering at her, and she was really scared and rattled, and they got into a buggy and went down the street, and Booth followed, and he was riding back and forth, glowering at them, and she was so unnerved, she talked U.S. Grant out of not only not going to the Ford's Theater that night with Lincoln, but to get out of town completely. And apparently it was pretty good women's intuition, because they did, and their lives were saved when the president was shot in Ford's Theater that night, and their companion was slashed brutally with a knife by John Wilkes Booth.
Hmm. What a crazy coincidence.
You know, and that's why the Willard Hotel just attracts bad guys like a magnet.
Yeah.
The number one choice for assassins in this country.
So in this case with Oswald, you know, I've heard mentioned before, and then you brought up about him going to the Russian embassy. Beyond him doing that, is there any tie-in that we can pull from that connection there? I mean, you know, it's kind of fitting with the world today and the back and forth today. It's like, was there any potential Russian tie-in to this?
I don't think a Russian tie. However, he was desperate for a trip to Cuba, and the way to get that may have been to go through either the Cuban or Soviet embassy. Well, Washington, D.C. did not have a Cuban embassy. Marina Oswald, Lee's wife at the time, said he was obsessed with Fidel Castro, pinned a picture of him on their wall in their house in New Orleans that summer, and talked often of Uncle Fidel or Comrade Fidel, and how he wanted to go there. He felt it was this Marxist paradise that they could live in. And she said later, I didn't want to go there. I liked America, and she's still in America. She's a pharmacist today in Texas. But Oswald had this crazy, twisted dream. He was what I would call semi-psychotic. I don't think the mafia would have hired him as part of the plot whatsoever if he was a complete psycho. He would have really given everything away. He was not trustworthy, but he was able to function and fire on JFK in Dallas, and I think he was going to in Washington, but the plan fell through for some reason.
So I'm curious, did the mafia get what they wanted in the end? Was Johnson easier on organized crime?
Believe it or not, yes. Prosecutions of the mafia plummeted. They went down like something like 75% over the next few years as RFK quit as the attorney general and personnel was changed over there, and they decided for some crazy reason to stop going after the mob so hard.
So the bad guys won.
I'm afraid so. I mean, you can't really put it any other way. The darkest forces in this country, including a guy who was associated with Carlos Marcello, who recruited for the KKK, his name was Joseph Miltier. He was caught on audio tape on November 9th. Saying JFK's coming to Miami, there's a plot in the works to shoot him from a tall building, an office building with high-powered rifles. Now, part of this audio tape that was captured, people hadn't been able to understand until now. He mentioned apparently the original part of the plan was, he said, when Kennedy steps out of the White House, we were going to have a man in a hotel across from the White House, pick him off with a high-powered rifle in better weather. He almost gave away the whole Willard Hotel plot right there, and it's still on audio today.
Hmm. Yeah, that is just wild. It's wild that so much thought has gone into this, and then really when you lay it out like this, it really sort of makes very logical sense, you know, for a world of grassy knolls and magic bullets, you know.
Yeah, the clues have been there, and some of them, like this Willard Hotel encounter with Oswald, have been buried for years. I don't want to toot my own horn too much, but no one seems to have put this together before, and I think my book's getting some attention already as I describe this on radio and podcasts and online, as people are saying, wow, I've not heard this before. I think it's the untold other half of the story that we're just now waking up to, and I let another researcher read it, and he seemed skeptical at first, and when he got it back to me, he said, my advice to anyone is get this book as soon as possible. That's his review of it. So I got that going for me.
Yeah, well, we definitely know you as a sober-minded researcher and author. You're not throwing out too many crackpot ideas, you know. What is up with do we know anything else about Oswald from before, other than just being impoverished? You know, he was nutty, obviously.
Yeah.
But do we know anything about his earlier life that sort of would lead him to this?
Research, some of the Warren Commission dug into his background, and researchers since, he attacked his mother when he was a teenager. He was evaluated by a school psychiatrist who talked about his psychotic tendencies back then. He waved a knife around in the face of his sister-in-law. He ran away from home and joined the Marines. And what did he do? He attacked his sergeant and was court-martialed. Then he supposedly accidentally shot himself and was court-martialed a second time. Then he ran off and defected to the Soviet Union. I was reading recently that while he was in Russia, he was trying to make two homemade bombs in his apartment, and the KGB would go in when he was out and reported on this, and they were very worried he was going to try to blow up Khrushchev or someone like that. They found the explosive devices in a dumpster outside the apartment. Later, he gave up on that plan. He tried to slash his wrists and came back to America in one piece, sadly. And when he did, he went after General Edwin Walker, who was just back from a anti-Castro speaking tour. He hated Castro, and he lived in Dallas, so you can tell what's going to happen here. Oswald grabbed his rifle and took a shot at Edwin Walker and just missed. But that gives us an example of how he really wanted to shoot someone and make a name for himself and his far-left Marxist theories, crackpot theories.
So we know he shot at this guy?
Yeah, there's never been any other investigation that came up with someone else, and he also left a note for Marina, and I believe it can still be read today, what to do in case he got arrested, and he came home that night pale as a ghost, and he later confessed, yes, it was me that tried to shoot General Walker, the anti-Castro American general who was retired and living in the Fort Worth area. Oswald made a map of the area. He stalked General Walker for a couple of weeks, and he took photos, like he used his Marine training to find the best time to get the best shot, and naturally he missed him anyway.
Man, the laws have sure changed when you can take a shot at a general and still be on the streets. You know, that's crazy.
The police just didn't have a clue back then, and they didn't put it together until after Oswald was arrested and Marina told this story. And it makes you wonder, when Oswald went to Washington, D.C. in late September of 63, was he going to apply that same Marine training and stalking for the neighborhood around the hotel, and which was two blocks from the White House? Did he go around the White House? JFK wasn't there at the time. He came back September 30th for the big October 1st motorcade. And so you also have to wonder, how did Oswald know that there was a motorcade coming in just a few days to be seen at that hotel?
Right. All right. Well, we're coming up on another break here. You're listening to Paul Blake Smith here talking about his new book, JFK and the Willard Hotel Plot, on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
That blew, I would be a bat and come swooping after you. And if the last time you were here, things were a bit askew,
Well, you know what happens after dark.
He's just a very hard-working person, and he listens to his people.
David Kehoe is one of the most honest public servants that I have ever seen.
As a third-generation U.S. Army veteran, I support Supervisor David Kehoe for re-election because of his unfailing support of our veterans.
The best quality about Dave is that he is so approachable.
You just couldn't ask for a better supervisor than him.
I'm David Kehoe, candidate for Supervisor District 1. I'm firmly committed to a safer community by increasing jail beds and supporting law enforcement. As your supervisor, I have a record of voting for jobs and economic development to help increase revenue for public safety. I will always strive to improve the safety and quality of life for the people of Shasta County. I welcome your support and vote.
Paid for by Kehoe for Shasta County Supervisor 2018.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Radio Wasteland with our guest Paul Blake Smith, and we're talking about JFK and the Willard Hotel plot, his new book. I got kind of a ridiculous question for you. As a person who doesn't know much about this other than the sort of stuff that I've learned up until now, where does this leave the magic bullet? What's up with the thoughts of a second shooter and all that stuff?
Yeah, I go into that in my book a little bit. It's pretty darn clear there was a shooter up on the hillside behind the fence. That President Kennedy's kill shot was delivered from in front, and the autopsy did their best to cover this up, including faking some photographs. There was a documentary film with the man who developed the pictures, and he came forward and said, look, these pictures, he spoke this to a friend, these pictures are all rigged to cover up the true nature of the wounds, to try to convince the Warren Commission the public was never supposed to see them, that Oswald acted alone and just shot from in back. But the more and more Dallas doctors and eyewitnesses in Dealey Plaza came forward, it's painfully clear there was a large exit wound in the back of the president's head that Oswald could not have possibly been responsible for. And a man named Ron Lewis said Oswald spoke of the plot in New Orleans during the summer of 63 and admitted his shots were only going to be a diversion mostly. He would take his shots at the president, but it was mostly to get people looking the other way for that kill shot that would come from in front. So I think that's a pretty good guesstimate of how it went down.
How does this help the government? It seems that it would be more detrimental to the government to have a presidential assassin running around that they didn't know who he was and catch him and possibly later catch him and be wrong. It seems like that would be more detrimental than for them to do this whole cover-up. I guess maybe once again we're in a different time now, and at the time we were sort of at this infancy of this world of media, and the possibility of controlling the media was within the realm of sight at the time, maybe. I don't know.
I agree. The media and basically everyone in this country, you did what your government told you, and you didn't really question it too much or protest too much. That came later in the 1960s under a series of lies from first the Johnson administration, then the Nixon administration and Watergate, and people became very cynical as scandal after scandal mounted. And then when the Warren report came out, people generally accepted it. And as the years went by, there were so many questions about this and so many authors and a few documentaries, the tide began to turn. And to this day, it's about 75-80% of the country polled that doesn't believe for a minute that Oswald acted alone. So I think that's where we stand. I doubt if there'll ever be a strong resolution to the case. The government released some documents last October, 1 year ago, that helped me finish this book, but there was no gigantic smoking gun, and then when they were supposed to release some more in April, it was just a bunch of junk, that they're still withholding lots of documents, and I don't hold out much hope that the government's ever going to really release the whole thing and get into it. But let's face it, it's 55 years ago, and everyone's deceased, so, you know, they could, if they wanted to, tell the whole story.
Yeah, well, how high up does it go? You know, regardless of a person's view of our current president seems like the sort of guy who, whether you view him as the person who would take this information and make it public or take this information and use it as a distraction, he still seems like the sort of person that would get that out there.
Yeah,
I mean, I had high hopes of just that, and yet he suddenly put the brakes on everything and said, oh, well, let's let the CIA look these documents over and delay it 6 months. And when that happened, there's just nothing. There's just a bunch of junk that was released, and the guts have been ripped out. So I'm disappointed once again. Almost all historians and researchers are disappointed that we're not getting these documents that were mandated by law back in the early 90s after the movie JFK came out from Oliver Stone. And I'll just add real quick, in that movie you saw Joe Pesci, who was terrific, as David Ferry, an acquaintance of Lee Oswald, ranting back and forth about going to Washington to shoot the president. And these were from actual conversations he had that summer. And he said, give me a week, we'll go to Washington, we'll shoot him in a triangulation of crossfire. And one key is to have an alibi for where you are, and another key is we're going to leave one patsy left behind. And that was the plot right there in a nutshell, and you saw some of it in Oliver Stone's movie.
So our engineer here kicked me a question, and he obviously has more knowledge than I do on this, so I might mispronounce this. He asked me to ask, was the Zapruder film the only recording of the assassination?
It seems to be the only really good clear one. There was an Orville Nix home movie that was taken from across Dealey Plaza but from a further distance, and it was released, and it shows some, but it's the grassy knoll area, if you want to call it that, was very darkly shaded, and the color is not that good up there, and you just can't tell. It's interesting to know that the government got a hold of that Zapruder film and took it to CIA photographic headquarters, and there are a number of sources say now in some books by other researchers that the film was doctored to show only this one possible shot. It's difficult to explain, but they blackened out the hole in the back of the president's head. They said it's pretty obvious to photographic experts, so we can't even quite trust the Zapruder film. It's discouraging, but the cover-up was set into place fairly early, and it makes you question why. Why couldn't we be just told the whole story if it was the mafia alone?
Yeah, especially...
Nobody likes the mafia.
Especially later on. I'm just surprised that no politician has really sort of come out and tried to gain some credibility for themselves by releasing this information. But I guess it's gone so much into the world of tinfoil hats that maybe somebody doesn't necessarily want to be associated.
No one wants that mocking derision that, oh, you're a conspiracy buff if you're interested in this. And I'll say right out, I don't like conspiracies per se. I don't believe, for instance, that Robert Kennedy was killed in a conspiracy or Martin Luther King Jr. But in the JFK case, the more you read, it's like, oh, goodness, there's no other way around this but to put together Oswald with some other people that didn't want Kennedy to survive Dealey Plaza, and the mafia paid them off. And I believe many eyewitnesses and maybe participants just happened to suddenly die in the immediate years afterwards, and that helped keep the lid on things, didn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so we're coming up on the end of the interview here, and I want to make sure that you have time to tell our audience where they can get a copy of your book and find out more about you.
You can go to Argus Publishing. They have their website at aargusbooks.com. The book comes out November 15th. Argus ships directly to you for free, no shipping charges, which is a really good deal if you ask me. You'll also be able to find it in, I believe, ebook form, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. I try to pack as much information to make sure people get their money's worth. It's like over 400 pages. And I list a bibliography, and I try to put sources and resources utilized to make sure, you know, I didn't just make things up. I try to use facts whenever possible, and it should be out in 1 month from today.
Well, Paul, we really enjoy having you on the show every time, and this was definitely an eye-opener for me. This was a topic I knew very little about, and not only was I reminded the stuff that I sort of grew up learning about, but you hit me with a whole other angle that I really wasn't expecting.
Well, then I succeeded there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Paul Blake Smith here on Radio Wasteland.
Going by the other side of the sky. The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.